First Nephi chapter 20. In chapter 20, Nephi begins to quote from Isaiah. In order to understand Isaiah, we have to allow it to talk directly to our spirit. The way that Isaiah is talking is he is talking through song. And the best way to explain that is his words are a song unto our spirit. And so as we feel his words, they touch our spirit, and they give us these impressions. And so therefore, the best I can do is give the impressions of some of the impressions that I feel as I go through Isaiah. But I do, again, testify to you that as you study Isaiah and you feel it, you will feel this song to your spirit, and the more you study it and hear it, it will enlighten you with understanding. So in the beginning of this, and in verse 1, he calls unto all those who claim to be of Israel, and definitely the church today claims to be of Israel. And he says, and all those who take upon themselves the name of Christ, which I guess anyone who claims to be Christian. But he says, but really you are not righteous, nor in fact or in truth. And in verse 2 he says, why? Because your stay is not in Jesus, meaning that he is not your support, he is not your strength, he is not your provider, your protector, or your progressor. To you, all your support comes from government, and your security is in government and in the businesses and economy of the great America and in the armies that are there to protect you, and that your righteousness is based on your following a church. But in no way is your strength and your support really from Jesus. It's from all the other things around you, including your fellow man and so forth. And he calls to you, and no matter how much he calls to you, thou art obstinate, he says, which means that thou will not listen. You do not want to hear him. You take greater support and greater security in those things that are more immediate to your sight. Even though he's given you scriptures and prophecies and words and signs, you still will not come unto him. You like more to hear what your scientists say and the things that you get from science and technology and what that has brought forth, and that's what you want to hear. Even when you study scripture, you want to hear about the history of the scripture and have it proven. You don't want to hear him direct. You're not wanting the Savior and to fill his spirit and to become a true follower of him. What you want is to have all that supported and hear from your science and technology, which is the make of your own hands and becomes your idols. Nonetheless, in verses 9 through 11, he says, he will not forsake you yet. He says, I don't want the devil to have you. I'm not going to give you unto the devil and let the devil have you as his glory. He says, because your erring and your abandonment of him is an infliction to you. And it actually is an affliction and you'll see that in the next life. And to some, they become chosen because of this affliction. Now, again, we have to get into the ideas of many called and few are chosen. Why is someone chosen? Someone is chosen because they choose him. When all this affliction is going on, they recognize that it's a great affliction, and they see everything going after the world and men trying to dominate others and tell everyone what to do. But to them, they keep choosing the Lord, even though he's not there. And so with all this affliction, their sight is upon the Lord. And so those will become chosen due to this affliction. And so in 12 through 14, he then repeats that for you to come unto him. He says, I am always here. I've always been here. You always see, you think that I'm not here. And so even to those that are seem afflicted and abandoned, and as he said in later chapters, that you feel forgotten and forsaken, that I am here, and to please come unto me, and then I will be your revenger, and I will take revenge upon the world. Now, again, he's obviously talking to those who see and feel the true nature of the world and are not happy in this world and see it as a great oppressor and see that government and churches and all are trying to force and dominate men and tell them what to do and take away their freedoms. And he And he sees that, and he sees that these worlds and these things are trying to take them away from God. And he says to them that, "I will take revenge for you for this, and you don't have to worry about revenge. You just continue to worry about coming unto me." And he says, "I call to you openly. Do not think that you have to go into the secret, to worship me or be secret about these things." And this applies, if you come unto him, then you don't have to worry about the government, the Internal Revenue Service, the church, what they're going to do to you. If you come unto me, I will be there with you, and I will protect you from these. And he says there that then, and even though they will want to dominate you, I will be able to prosper you. And prosper has to do with doing this openly, meaning that even though people can't understand it, you will prosper even amongst all this affliction. And so then by the time we get to 17, he's beginning to say, "Follow me and I will progress you. And then you will have peace forever." Because you see, this is a bunch of turmoil and a bunch of conflict. No matter what, we aren't perfect. We have these problems and these things. And I mean, we're not perfect in our faith. And so these things are an affliction to us. And we do want them to go away. We want them out of our sight. We don't want to have to be part of this world and play the force and control game and have to depend on them for the money to pay our property taxes and pay other bills and things that were given to us by God, and to some have mortgages or whatever else. But to be oppressed by this world, he said, when you're oppressed and then you see great turmoil, you see all the arguing amongst government on what government's going to do to take care of the people, when you know that government can't take care of the people and everybody collecting all these taxes to take care of the poor, never get taken care of. Everything's a mass of confusion and everyone talking, and there is no peace and there's war everywhere. You can see it isn't just causing nothing but contention and problems and argument. So there is no peace to you in the world. And he says, "Those who will come unto me, they will be given peace." And that is their desire for the future, is to have peace. And basically, again, that those who hear me and hear what Isaiah is saying do not feel at peace in the world. And he tells you that he makes you a promise that he will take you out of the world, take you out of Babylon, he will deliver you. But when he does this, he will prepare the way, for when you go, you'll sing praises to him, which means you are not capable, you're not to think that you can overpower the world, that you can beat them at their own game, that you can beat them in their court. He will be delivering you, and when he does deliver you, in verse 21, it will seem like it's impossible. There's no way that he'll be able to deliver me against this great big world, but he will deliver you, and surely the Lord will do it. But again, you must allow him to do it. You obviously will not be able to do it yourself. But even those who see the Lord and begin and do following others, or for themselves who do follow the Lord and are finally delivered out of the world, some of them still will be wicked, or they will, once they're delivered from that, they will then turn into the very oppressors that they were delivered from.